Mark, verse number 1. Please stand, reverence to the reading of God's Word. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this portion of Scripture. And Father, once again, I'm so glad thy word is all true. And Father, that you can teach us some marvelous things from your word. My prayer is today that you will fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that I might preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, that you might give me that wisdom I need from thee. I lack the wisdom I need, and your word says I can ask of you and you'll give it. And I ask you for it. I pray also, Father, for the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And I ask you, God, to help me today as I preach, that I might be a blessing to this people. And I realize the only way I can do that is to preach unto them the Word of God. And so, Father, today I pray and ask you, Lord, to let there be a sweet, attentive spirit in this place. Each and every one of us, Father, will be here to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And, Father, if there's any here without Jesus, that this may be the day they're saved, born into God's family. And I pray, Father, that you will help us as Christians not only to be hearers of the word, to be doers of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to bring a message which I've entitled Satan, Society, or the Savior. Which one? Which will help us? You know, this place where we're talking about, Gadara, a city that's set up high on a level place down at the southern end of the Sea of Galilee, set up on a high level place with slopes running down from this city. It was a mountainous area, and slopes running down to the sea. And in those mountainous areas, there was tombs, cave-like tombs, where they buried people. And this man that we've just read about was a man that was living in these caves or in these tombs. He was a crazy man. He was filled with the devil, running throughout the tombs, cutting himself and crying and breaking chains and fetters. He was a man possessed of the devil. If ever there'd been a man that needed some help, this man was one. He certainly needed some help. He needed somebody to help him, no doubt about it. First of all, I want to show you what kind of help Satan was to this man. You know, Satan, the Bible speaks of, Jesus says in John 10, he says that he is the door. Jesus is the door. You all know that Jesus is the door of salvation. He's the door of heaven. I have a sermon I preached, and probably others has preached it too. I probably got it from somebody else. But I preached on about old Judas who kissed the door of heaven and on his way, or excuse me, yes, kissed the door of heaven on his way to hell. Jesus is the door of heaven. He is the door. But he's made a statement in John 10 about Satan. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy," speaking of Satan. I want to look for a few moments this morning, first of all, looking at the fact that Satan is one who wishes to steal. First of all, as we see this man here, we know that this man had lost anything that was good. We find him out here running around, no life, no hopes, no goals, cutting himself, crying, nothing to look forward to. Satan had stole everything that this man had. First of all, he lost his home. The Bible says in verse number 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. We find that where he dwelt was among the tombs. Now, over in the Scriptures, we'll find over in Luke, and we'll come to those later, that at one time he did have a home, because Jesus told him to return unto his home. So this man had lost his home, and the Bible says he abode amongst the tombs. That's where he lived. And so we know that this man did not have a house to live in. Let me say to you, there's multitudes of people, and before I'm ridiculed as one uncaring about the homeless, I am not, I do care. But let me say one thing to you, most of the time the homeless are homeless because of sin. Sin has gotten in. Sin has taken over. Instead of following God, they've walked after the ways of the devil. And so they become homeless. You remember the prodigal son when he did not have any home. The reason he did not have any home, he left his father and went into a foreign country. And when he recognized what he should have done, he went back home and he had a home. Amen? I'm just simply saying to you, this man was without a home. He had no home. I don't know about you, but there's nothing like home. There's just nothing like it. It's just something wonderful. I remember Kelly Rambis come to visit us from Japan, and she said, "It's good to be home. It's good to be home." There's just something about home, and all of you men and you ladies know that sometimes you're out and you've had a busy day, and you get inside your house and you say, "Boy, it's good to be home. It's just good to be there." Amen? Well, this man had no home to go to. He lived amongst the tombs. There's nothing like the sweet fellowship of the family. There's nothing like a mom and dad fellowship and the children fellowship. There's just nothing like it. Christmas time we've just had. It's a wonderful thing to get together with family, is it not? To be at home with the family. Well, we know, as I said, over in Luke 8:39, we won't turn there, but we find that he was told to return to his home. So we know he had a home. But now he did not. So you see, Satan is busy about stealing folks' homes. Homes are being broken up all over this land. Satan's in the midst of it. He likes to steal the home. He likes to break up the family. Not only that, we know that he lost his friends. In verse number 19 of chapter 5, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends." Now, folks, Jesus told him after he had gotten right with God, Jesus told him to go home to thy friends, so we know he had friends. But at this point in life, he had lost his friends. Let me say to you again, it's something special about friendships. It's good to have friends. Amen. It's good to have people you can depend on and love and care about and can fellowship with when you see them. There's something special about that. Amen. This man had lost all of that. Let me tell you, Satan will steal your home and he'll steal your friendships. Not only that, this man had lost his decency. I'm going to read to you from Luke 8, verse number 27. "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. He had lost his decency, and Satan wants to steal your decency. If you noticed here, this man was naked and had no clothes. He had lost his decency. Let me say to you, Satan today is busy about stealing the dignity and decency of people today because they don't dress right. They dress skimpy, and they dress immodest. And Satan is busy about stealing your dignity and your decency. Satan is good at that. Amen? And he wants to steal it from you. You remember when Moses came down from the mountain, getting the tablets from God, the Ten Commandments from God? What was it he saw when those people got away from God? The Bible said these people were naked and dancing around the golden calf. Nakedness and away from God go together. You mark that down. I'll show you the truth of that in a few moments. You understand me? You hear me? Satan is stealing the dignity of people today because of their immodest dress. Not only that, we find that he lost his self-control. In verse number 4 and 5, it says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The Bible says that this man lost his self-control, and they had to try to bind him with chains and fetters to keep him from doing harm to probably himself and other people. He lived like an animal. Let me say to you today, there's multitudes today who have lost their self-control. They live like animals. Killings, lust, abuse, pornography, drugs, and alcohol, they literally lost their self-control. They live literally like animals. Now, I've never been on the streets of New York, and I've never been on the streets of San Francisco. I've sure read a lot about them and seen pictures about them. They must be horrible situations. But you can see some pretty horrible situations right around here where people have literally lost their self-control, and they live like animals. Not only that, this man lost his peace. The Bible says in verse number 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Let me say to you folks, see, this man had no peace whatsoever, no peace of mind. Let me say again today, there's multitudes all over this land that have no peace whatsoever. Let me say to you, the Bible says that the wicked have no peace. Do you have peace in your heart? Is your mind at peace with God? You see, this man had no peace, running throughout the tombs, cutting himself day and night, not a time to sleep and to rest, but he had literally just acted like an animal, and he had no peace whatsoever. Not only that, he had lost his self-respect. I don't know whether it was his friends that had come and tried to tie him up and to bind him, or whether it was just people from the community, who it was, but he had lost all self-respect. I'm sure the word went constantly about that man out there running through the tombs, cutting himself, and what a crazy man he was. He had lost his self-respect. A lot of folk today has lost their self-respect. They have none because they followed the ways of the world and the ways of Satan instead of the ways of God. Now, not only that, in verse number 5 also, we find that he had lost his purpose for living. This man had no purpose for living. Just on a daily basis, all he did was run through the tombs, cut himself, hollering, crying, breaking chains, breaking fetters, and crying throughout the tombs. Running, I suppose, from one to one, I don't know. He had no goals for life. He had no purpose for living. Now, you want to know today, my friend, that Satan, as Jesus said in John 10, is a thief. And he stole all of those things from this man. The Bible also tells us in John 10 that not only is he a thief, but he also kills. I could say to you today some of the same things we've already talked about. He kills his home life. He kills his friendships. He kills his decency. He kills his peace. He kills his self-respect. He kills his purpose of life. But I want you to also know, my friend, that in verse number 5, he was amongst the tombs, cutting himself, literally could have bled to death. And let me say to you today that Satan would like to kill you. You know what he'd lie? He'd lie for you to take your life. That's why suicide is up on a high rate today. That's Satan's business. That's not God's. Let me assure you, if suicide ever enters your mind, know one thing for sure, it didn't come from God. Amen. God would not have it such. But Satan would. Satan steals and Satan kills. That's why there is so much liquor in America. He wants to kill folk. And folk are being killed, not only on our highways, but by diseases and all other kinds of things, by that stuff called alcohol. I read some statistics one day that there's 129 million barrels of beer sold annually by the top 10 brands. That was in 1988, 129 million barrels, 32 gallon to a barrel. I think I'd made a comment over the radio, our radio program, and I'd said it was 32 gallon per person. I miscalculated, it's 16, but you know that when I was preaching on the radio, I was speaking evangelistically. So what it is, it's 16, between 16 and 17 gallons of beer for every single individual in America. I want you to know something. Somebody got mine. Amen. Somebody got yours too, didn't they? Can you imagine? Somebody drinking a whole lot. Amen. Because I sure didn't drink any of mine, not going to. I also know that there was 575 million gallons of hard liquor made that year. That comes down to 2 gallon per person. Amen. And I don't want it, Mrs. Leishman, but somebody else is drinking it, let me tell you, because they're producing it. Amen. So you see, folks, that's why Satan wants that junk. Young people, don't ever put it to your lips. Make any difference what anybody says. Let them make fun of you. Let them laugh at you. Make any difference. Don't ever put it to your lips. Don't ever put that first cigarette to your lips. I don't care what they call you. Make any difference what they call you. Don't do it. Walk away from it. Say no. Don't ever take dope. Don't ever do it whatsoever. To have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Walk away from it. Say no to them. Let them laugh. You'll get the last one. Amen. You know why Satan wants you to have that dope and them cigarettes and that liquor? You know why? He wants to kill you. He wants you to die. That's why, as I said earlier, there is so many suicides today, because Satan wants to kill you. That's Satan's business. That isn't God's business doing that. And he'd love to kill you and get rid of you. And if you're not saved, you'll spend an eternity in the devil's hell. And if you are saved, you'll lose all your influence whatsoever you ever had upon this earth. Amen. Satan not only steals, but he kills. The Bible says in John 10, he also destroys. You know what? No one ever cared about this man until Jesus came along. I want you to know something. Satan wants to destroy your soul. He hates your soul. He wants your soul to spend eternity in a devil's hell. He wants to destroy you. You know that's why Satan has caused so much havoc in the churches across the land today? Don't you know that that's why he brings division to the church? Why he brings splits to the church and hatred and strife and hard hearts and busyness into the world? Don't you know that's why he does that? Because he wants souls to go to hell. And when a community can look around and see a split church, they laugh and mock and say they have nothing. When there's strife in the church, the old Satan is sitting up there haw-hawing. When there's divisions and hatred and splits and hard hearts in the church, Satan is happy. And God is grieved. And then what he does is he gets all of God's people busy in the world. They don't have any time for God's business. They don't ever have any time whatsoever to tell somebody about Jesus. And Satan is happy. You know what, folks? There's churches all over this land that have shut down their Sunday nights and Wednesday night services. And they haven't had visitation programs for years and years and years and years. And I'm talking about the majority of churches. There is, you want to look around and find out how many in this community right here have a regular visitation soul-winning program. You look into it and it's going to surprise you. And Satan is happy about that. and he'd like for us to shut down ours. And the only way we can keep ours going is if we get out and do it. Don't give the sandbag to somebody else. That sandbag of burden that you need to be carrying yourself, carry it. Amen. Tell people about Jesus Christ. For let me say to you, he is coming soon. And listen, Satan loves it when we're busy in the world and do nothing for God. Amen? He loves it. He's got us right where he wants us. So he wants to destroy the souls of men. Now, I'm not too pleased with what Satan done for this man. How about you? Also, we find that society tried to do something for him. In chapter 5, verse number 3, it says, "And who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Men came along, society came along and said, "Let's tame this man. I'll tell you how we'll do it. We'll put shackles on him. We'll bind him. We'll put chains around him." And he broke those chains. And the Bible says that no man could tame him. Let me say something to you folks. Society without Jesus can do nothing. Nothing. I don't care what it is. They can do nothing that will last for eternity. I was riding to Terre Haute the other day in a car. And one of these is on the Christian radio station. And there was an advertisement for one of these groups that helped people, but they did make a good statement. It says, "Unless Jesus is part of the answer, you still have a problem." I thought that's good. Unless Jesus, my dear friend, is part of the answer, you still have a problem. I have a problem. Jesus is the only one that can help us. Society cannot do it. They cannot give us the help we need. They tried here. They bound him. Let me say to you, they isolated him. They bound him up. They done everything they could. But it did not help him. Society puts lepers outside the camp to cry, "Unclean, unclean." But Jesus comes along and heals them. Society comes along and puts them in prison. And Jesus comes along and breaks their bondage of sin and sets them free. My friend, there's no one going to be helped anywhere unless it's Jesus that helps them. You can take mankind any message you want to take them. You leave the message of Jesus Christ out and you've left them with a message that'll never help them. For only Christ can help. You might help them for a few moments. You might help them in a few ways to feed them. But you'll never help them with the help that they really need inside, to set them free from the bondage of sin. Yes. Only Jesus can do that. You know, we have a lot of organizations in America today, and many of those organizations were started with the greatest intent. And many of them were started with Christian principles. Many of them were started with Jesus as first place. The YWCA, the YMCA was started, their Young Women's Christian Association, Young Men's Christian Association. And they help people because they took Jesus to them. But let me tell you, today, them same organizations are not preaching Jesus. They have become a physical fitness organization and some other kind of organization, and they don't preach Jesus. And if you don't preach Jesus to people, you can't help them. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, great organization. I was one. I enjoyed it. But you know where we had it? In the church. You know what we had at the meeting? We had a preacher speak. It's absolutely truth. Our preacher there always came and talked to the boys and the Boy Scouts. Now, I'm not saying there isn't good ones around. I'm not saying there's some organizations. There may be some that still may be doing that, but let me tell you, there's very few. Let me tell you, friend, you can go to the hospitals, and I'm glad for all the hospitals. I'm thankful for them when you need them. Boy, it's nice, isn't it? But let me say to you, listen to me. If you help that person with a physical illness and fail to teach unto him Jesus, he just gets better to live longer before he goes to hell. You take the schools and the colleges today. Why is it, Satan has worked so hard to steal from the schools and the colleges of today Jesus Christ from their midst. Why is it they've taken the Bible out? That's Satan business. Why is it have they taken prayer out of the school? That's Satan business. Say, Brother Ross, a lot of things has changed since them one-room schoolhouses. Certainly have, but you know Jesus can be in a multi-room schoolhouse as easy as he could be in a small room. Say, Brother Ross, now we've got computers. That's all right with me if we have computers. Just put Jesus in the computer. I mean, tell the story of Christmas the right way. You want to teach somebody how to read, help them to read the Bible. Oh, we wouldn't want to do that, would we? We live in a society. We're different than what it used to be. That's the problem. We need to get Jesus back in everything in our society. And so society cannot help a man. And that's why, let me say to you, Satan is doing his best to get Jesus out of the church. And has succeeded in a lot of places. Jesus on the outside knocking, wanting in. My dear friend, society cannot help us. It's Jesus that can help us. You know, I've made this statement. I've made it multitudes of times. I don't know all of your condition, but listen to me just a moment. There is not one marriage on the face of this earth that would not work if we followed the principles of this Bible. If a husband and wife followed the principles of this book, there is not a marriage on the face of this earth that would not work. For God's word is true, and what we do is we get off the principles of the word of God. Somebody gets off. Amen? Yes, folks, listen, don't you believe that? Yes, don't you believe Jesus can do that? If we follow what the Bible says about marriage, absolutely cannot break up. But what we do as human beings, we get away from the Bible, the Word of God. Multitudes are doing it. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm simply trying to get you to understand Jesus is the answer. He'll give you your home back. He'll give you your family back if you let Him. Not only that, in Mark the 5th chapter, in the 19th verse, he says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends." He'll give you your friends back. I'm talking about real friends. I'm not talking about those people who talk about being friends and stab you in the back. I'm talking about friends. Jesus will give you your friends back. Not only that, in Mark 5, 15th verse, "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." He'll give your decency back to you. This man, my dear friend, came and sat in the front and at the feet of Jesus Christ, clothed. Nowhere in the scriptures do I read that someone went and told him, say, "Sir, before you go see Jesus, get some clothes on." No, he knew he ought to put clothes on as soon as he got saved. He got his decency back. He got his dignity back. Sitting there at the feet of Jesus Christ, clothed and in his right mind. I remember back in 1968, my preacher that I was saved under, Brother Evans, made a statement one night in a Wednesday night Bible study. He said, "People will be going naked in the streets of the United States of America within 10 years. I kind of looked at my wife and I said, "I don't know about that." Within 10 years, they was the streakers. You remember them? And they were doing exactly what he said. I got to thinking my preacher's pretty smart. When it comes to decency and dignity, undressing is ungodly. I'm talking about out in public. Listen to me. You know what my preacher said to me years ago? I was a young man of approximately 20, probably 28 at that time. And he preached and he said, "Men, You ought not to run around with your shirts off, just like the ladies. You make fun of the ladies. Men, you ought not to run around with your shirts off. You ought to be decent and have some dignity about you. You know what I did? I never again after that took my shirt off in public. Never again. Because you know why? He was right. Dignity and decency. We don't, and Christianity don't have as much dignity and decency as some of these stores. They put right on their thing, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Amen? They know more about dignity and decency than we Christians. He got his self-control back. He wasn't running around crying and cutting himself anymore, was he? He got his peace back, sitting at the feet of Jesus instead of running through the mountains. Who gave it back to him? Jesus. He got his self-respect back. They no longer came and tried to bind him in fetters and chains. He was a peaceful man sitting at the feet of Jesus with no need of fetters and chains. And the Bible says in verse 15 that I read to you a while ago, he got his right mind back. Clothed and in his right mind. Two go together. Clothed and in his right mind. Amen? He got his right mind back. Who gave it to him? Jesus. He got rid of the devil out of him. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and a herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 were choked in the sea. He got rid of the devil out of him. That's why he was sitting clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. I want to show you two prayers. Verse 15, let's start to read. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Won't you notice they were afraid? Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They began to pray, but their prayer was, Jesus, get out of our country. We see this wild man, this man that has been running through the tombs and cutting himself and doing all kinds of wicked things. We see him sitting in his right mind clothed before you. Jesus, get out of here. We pray you'll leave us alone. In other words, leave us to our wickedness. We don't want what he has. Now listen to verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man, when he came to Christ, the only thing his thoughts could come to was, I want to be with Jesus. Lord Jesus, he was saying, please let me go with you. Amen? You see, that's what really receiving Jesus will do for you. You'll want to go with him. You'll want to be around him. You hear me? Those who do not, we'll say, Jesus, we want you away from us. Depart. Get away. We don't want you. Now listen. The last thing he gave him was a purpose for life. A purpose for living. Look at verse number 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Do you notice that God gave him back a purpose for living? And that purpose was to go out and tell people what God done for you. How that the Lord has had compassion upon you. And did you notice also that he obeyed that? And went to Decapolis and began to tell people what Jesus Christ had done for him? And the Bible says all men did marvel. This man had a purpose for living now. He had some goals, some purposes that he could fulfill. And that was to go tell people what Jesus has done for you. My dear friend, The responsibility of we as Christians is to go out and tell people what Jesus has done for us. And if Jesus has done nothing for us, we have nothing to tell. But if He has done something for us, we've got a great story to proclaim. Amen? Now, I want to share something with you. Satan wants to steal and kill and destroy you. Society cannot help you. Only Jesus can give you what you need. Anything that society will do for you will be temporary. But that which Jesus can do for you will be eternal. Forever. Amen? I ask you today, search your hearts. Are you here today, and do you know for sure, without any shadow of doubt, that you're God's child? Born into the family of God, and if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Bow your heads, please.